The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ready, Set, Spill. I'm Lindsay Carter, the founder and CEO of Set Active, a new mother and the host of Ready, Set, Spill.
Today's podcast guest launched her YouTube channel in 2011 and since then has accumulated over 1.1 million subscribers. She has transitioned her content from the beauty and fashion space to food, lifestyle, and everything in between. Her focus now emphasizes on the importance of having a healthy relationship with food, all while highlighting the beauty that comes from gathering around a table filled with great food and even greater humans. Let's welcome Maddie Bragg to Ready, Set, Spill. This is a fun one because I'm here with one of my longtime friends. I don't even know how many years it's been now, but we have seen each other through a lot of different phases, I would say, at this point. Maddie Bragg is here on Ready, Set, Spill. I always start these episodes with, you know, like a fun question or something that like might not have anything to do with what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. But if you were to make a sandwich right now, like the best sandwich, you can collab with someone, it can be from your kitchen, whatever you want it to be. What ingredients would you put together?
Oh my God. Wow. Very fitting question for me.
I know.
Okay. I think it would probably be some sort of Italian sub.
Okay.
Just like a classic. All of the meats, salami, mortadella, and like shredded iceberg. It would probably just be a classic.
But like what sauce is?
Like kind of boring.
Like I'm a sauce girl.
Olive oil, balsamic vinegar, salt and pepper, probably some like Calabrian chili spread.
Whoa.
Make it spicy. And then I always put chips in my sandwich.
Yeah, to make it crunchy. Mm-hmm. That's like
salt and vinegar chips.
Yeah, obviously. That's like the best part to like top it all off with. I was actually really lucky because before I moved, I lived in an apartment on Blackburn. And then Maddie moved right across the street and she would text me and be like, I made extra pasta or I made extra croissants or cinnamon rolls or donuts. Do you want some? And like, I'd come home to like these platters on my front door every single time. I was like, if you keep doing this, I am going to get very big. But God, it's so good. And Maddie is like an incredible chef. But if you don't know her as a chef, she is a YouTuber, was a YouTuber, took a break from YouTubing. Is that what you say? YouTubing? Is that a word? What is it? Vlogger? Vlogger.
Yeah, I guess.
YouTubing.
Or like content creating.
Content creating.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one now.
Yeah.
There's so many different evolutions of names that have come through. Like when you used to film yourself
for
on
sure.
YouTube.
I mean, it was just, there was no name for it. I was just like posting videos.
Oh,
on
don't
YouTube.
You worry. The day that we were at Wonderview and
oh
we went
God.
Through the archive, I think we were like laying in your bed or maybe we were in the living room and you showed me your first YouTube video that you ever posted. And it was like you and like, you're like looking at the camera, like super sultry. Your hair was long, really long.
Yep.
But you also looked like you were 14.
Well, I was 13.
Oh, okay. So yes, maybe I didn't know how old you were, but
or maybe 12.
You would like hop young. Off a bench and then you would like climb on the wall and put your arms out to balance. How many views did that YouTube video get?
Probably not very many, to be honest. Like when I first started making videos, I didn't think anybody was going to see them. And not very many people did at first. And then it kind of started.
So what was the first video that you were like, whoa? Because I mean, now I think that video would get a lot of views. You should probably like be like, my first YouTube video ever as a YouTube video.
It's definitely privated.
I know you took it private that day, I'm pretty sure.
Definitely privated. It might have been getting ready for my first day of high school. That was my first video that got a substantial amount of views.
Okay.
Which like, makes sense, especially for the time those types of videos
weren't a thing.
Really. Well, no, they were a thing and they were popular. Like everybody, because that was my demographic.
Okay. And how old were you at this point?
How old are you when you go to high school? 14?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
I'm so bad at that. Okay,
don't ask
so you're 14, 15 making getting ready videos. Mm-hmm. What was your getting ready routine back then?
Oh my gosh. I used to put on a ton of makeup and I curled my hair really tight and I'm like wearing a full Brandy Melville outfit. Very classic
Brandy
for
Melville.
The times.
Yeah, very classic. Is there a product that you used like back then that you still use to this day? Like a cult product?
No.
Really?
Yeah. I don't wear makeup much anymore.
Yeah.
It's usually just if I'm doing something and it's very natural. So all the products I was using before were such full coverage or like random Maybelline products.
Love. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe she's Maybelline.
Yeah. I don't think that there's anything I use that's the same, which is kind of shocking.
What are your go-to products now?
Gosh, I use a lot of Ilia.
Okay.
A lot of like Tower 28 and Charlotte Tilbury.
Very more much like every day.
Yeah. More like clean beauty and
no
minimal.
makeup look. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that even mean? Like, you are putting on makeup.
I know. Most days it's just eyebrow gel, but
love.
Today I got ready for you.
I feel really special. I got ready for you too. I got out of the shower and Garrett was like, podcast day. And I was like, why? He's like, because you only get yourself ready when you're going to your podcast. And I was like, what are you trying to say?
Well, you gotta be on camera.
I know. I tried to explain that to him. When did you begin to realize that like vlogging was going to be a thing for you? Like when did that like light bulb go off being like, okay, whoa, I can make this a thing?
It was probably around age 16.
Okay.
At that point, I was making enough money to be fully self-sufficient. And I think that was when I was like, okay, this is what I'm doing. This is my job, clearly.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to keep going and figure it out as I go, I guess, because I didn't really know what I was doing.
What was your first brand deal?
Oh, my.
Here I am asking all these memory questions when she clearly said she doesn't have a good memory.
I experienced a lot of trauma in my childhood and it really messed up my memory. So it's hard for me to. I need to do like some sort of like hypnosis or something to try and bring my memory back. It was probably like Smashbox or something like that.
Okay. So that was like your first brand deal. And then you started realizing that you can make like a career out of this.
Yeah. Well, maybe not so much. I wasn't thinking in maybe so long term.
Yeah. Just in the moment it was working.
But I was like, yeah, this is working and I'm making money enough to support myself. So I'm just going to do that.
So you start getting traction. You start mm-hmm. vlogging at the age of 13, but you start getting traction as the years start coming. And you're now 16 and you're making money off of your videos. Mm-hmm. How did like growing up on a social platform affect your adolescence? Like when I was 16, I was waking up at 5 a.m. to go to two-a-days soccer practice at high school. So I'm sure that has an effect on like how you think of yourself, because obviously social media is such a catch-22 these days. And I'm sure it was back then too, because you're constantly comparing and all of that fun stuff. So talk to me about those feelings.
It was definitely a very weird experience. And I was also going through a lot in my private life, which I didn't share as much online. And it was posting videos and being on social media was kind of my escape from my real life. And that was a good thing, but also a bad thing, because I ignored a lot of the issues that were going on, which then just came up later in my life. And like, I'm only now and like in the last couple of years starting to deal with the effects of, I mean, just growing up online, but also, you know, ignoring trauma and shit that I went through. So I think it was hard for me to, I don't know, I just, everybody saw me figuring out who I was.
Like through the camera.
Yeah, which is a very intense experience, because obviously everybody is giving you their opinions, even though you didn't ask for them, and they're judging your every move and they're just so invested in your life, which is really great, but it's also very weird because they only know a certain percentage of what I share and like who I actually am. I think I tried not to let any of it affect me, because I, you know, I did know like I'm only showing a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know, well, I'm figuring out who I am, but it was very easy for me to get all wrapped up in that whole situation. And because I was figuring out who I was and I was a literal teenager, I was kind of awful. I was really annoying and I was just a shithead. Like, that's the only way that I can describe it, is like I was just a shithead, and people noticed and they made comments about it. And then you know, when I took my break, I think that was probably the best thing that I could have ever done for myself.
So before we talk about the break, you've mentioned a couple times that you've had childhood trauma.
Yeah.
Are you open to talking about what that trauma is how it affected you?
Yeah. Okay. For sure.
Tell me everything. I am Dr. Lindsay. So how does that make you feel?
So most people, I mean, maybe not most people, but a lot of people know because I have talked about it a bit, but I lost my dad when I was 10 and that it was very sudden. He was 46. Everybody was shocked. And that really threw a wrench in my entire family, basically. Everybody was struggling, obviously.
I feel like, I mean, you know, this is something we bonded over when we first became friends because I lost my mom at 9. Mm-hmm. And I remember having this conversation with you, like a death in the family either makes a family come together as a united front and like you get really close and you've never been closer and you start saying like, I love you and being like mushy with each other when like you weren't before, or it kind of makes your family go in very different directions.
Yeah.
And that happened for like both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember bonding over that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was just basically, I mean, it affected everybody in my life, but especially my mom. And she became severely depressed and was just not able to be a mother, which I don't blame her for, of course. It's a very normal reaction, but she was not willing to get help. So basically, my sister was there for me, and I do have other family who are so amazing, but I did raise myself in a lot of ways. And, you know, I moved out when I was 16 and I moved to LA. I'm from Orange County, so it's close, but still, I was fully on my own, paying my own bills and just figuring things out for myself, which was a fight or flight response, to be honest. I just knew that I couldn't be living in that situation anymore. I couldn't be around my mom because it was not healthy for me as a teenager and being around a parent who's depressed and doesn't know how, like, I didn't know how to deal with that.
Yeah.
I barely even understood what that meant. So how could I, like, parent her? So I was like, I gotta go. Like, I gotta remove myself from this situation because I just knew it was the right thing. And I'm still figuring it out. I mean, I'm only 23, so.
Wow.
But I survived.
I can't imagine moving out at 16. I was still so, like, I don't know, not ready to move out.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
I mean, I don't think I was.
Who did you move out with again?
I moved out with a girl named Alex.
Okay.
I knew her like through social media and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just not having parent figures in your life is very interesting growing up. And it, I mean, it still affects me to this day.
Yeah. Same. Yeah.
It was just Mother's Day and that was, you know.
I know. Yeah. I mean, I have my own child now.
I know. I'm sure that's so healing.
It's healing. And it's like, so it's a very weird feeling. Like I definitely wake up a little bit sad on that day. Cause it's just like another Mother's Day. And like everyone is posting about their moms. I try to stay off social media as much as possible, but now I have a whole new meaning to Mother's Day where I'm the mom and, you know, I'm being celebrated for my job of mothering Ace and soon to be my second child. So yeah, it's definitely a bittersweet day, but you know, that's like, I feel like what also brought us together when we became friends. And so I know how hard it's been for you. I'll never forget when you wanted to get a new car and I went with you to go car shopping.
Oh my God, that was so funny.
You picked out a car that you liked. We sat down in the sales room and we started negotiating numbers, talking to the guy, and he's like, okay, well, now we have to check your credit.
I was like, well,
she was like, but like, it wasn't like you had bad credit. You just didn't have credit because no one taught you what that was.
Yeah.
You didn't know what credit was or like why you would need credit or anything like that. And so I looked at you and I was like, Maddie, how do you not have credit? And you're like, I don't know. No one taught me these things. And I was like, oh my God. And I looked at the salesman and I was like, we'll be back. We're going to go build her credit. We're going to get her credit card. I'm going to teach her how to use it. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to come back. And I think since that day, you called me mom.
Literally.
Yeah. Every time I say, you're like, mom's here. Because mom's here. I was like, oh, okay. We have a lot to learn. But I mean, fast forward to, I remember the day you told me you were going to take a break from social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were like, I have a passion for cooking. I have a passion for food. Croft Alley is going to give me an opportunity to like be a chef in the kitchen. And I feel like I need to take this opportunity. I'll never forget when you told me. Mm-hmm. So what was that break like for you? Like anything eye-opening? Like tell me all about it.
I think it was just so nice for me to experience more of a quote unquote normal life because I had never had a normal job. You know, I started social media at such a young age and it became my job. And then I didn't go to college or I felt like I hadn't had real life experiences because I was living in this bubble of social media and the entertainment world and just everybody that I was surrounded with was in that sort of industry, and I didn't know anything different. It was a lot of, it was just a lot of like, everybody cared about all the superficial things and money and status and
who they were seen with, where like, they were
which
seen
parties
with.
They were going to and what they were wearing and like this, that, and the other. And it was just very, I was engulfed in that entire world. So to fully remove myself from that was such a change, but in the best way. And I feel like I could finally understand, like, this is what it's like to work hard and like to be really excited about what you're doing and be excited to work that hard. And to work with a team of people was really great because I always was just working by myself. I mean, I probably posted on Instagram like 6 times in the span of 2 years. And
I remember
before that I was posting like every single day or at least like multiple times a week. So a very huge shift, but I was able to just figure out who I am, what I like, what I don't like, the types of people that I want to be surrounding myself with. You know, I experienced relationships and I grew closer to my family. I benefited from it in probably every aspect of my life. And I'm so grateful for that. Like, honestly, I mean, obviously I learned a lot about my job as well. Like I learned about food and I got to have so many experiences in that sense, but it was a lot of personal growth as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to make the decision to take a break, but also like in the world that I met you through my friend, Sydney, who we're still, I mean, our lives have gone in such different directions. We're still friends and I still love her so much.
Yeah.
I basically lived at your house at Wonderview, being in a very serious relationship at the same time. And I remember like also watching your journey through finding like who to trust, who to not trust, who your friends were. And I remember like we were all at the house. Sydney and I were staying in at Wonderview, even though neither myself or Sydney lived there.
Yeah.
But we're staying in at your house.
Yeah.
And you were getting ready to go out and Charlie was getting ready to go out and all the girls. And I remember like Olivia being like, the Uber is here, like we gotta go. And then I remember you coming up the stairs and you were like done up. You were ready to go. And you looked at me and Sydney on the couch. You looked around the room and I'm like, what is she doing? Like in my head. And you're like, I'm not going. And I was like, what? What do you mean? Like you just got ready for the last 2 hours. And then Charlie's like, well, I'm not going either. And like we ended up staying at the house and like making food and watching something on the TV. And like that's when we like grew our bond even more. Yeah. There's so many moments of bonding with each other. But even then, because I could tell that like you were just like, I don't know if this is the life for me.
Yeah.
And then we had a really serious conversation about that night. And Sydney was like, yeah, like I'm not into this like phase either. And you stayed true to that. You stopped going out. You stopped like living that life. I so remember the turning point, like from then to like getting your job at Craft Alley to even coming back to social media two or three years later.
Mm-hmm.
So what was your decision there?
I had been thinking about starting making like to make videos again, but shift my content to be more food focused
and ASMR. I'm just kidding.
And still some lifestyle as well, but I wanted to make food videos. But with my job at the restaurant, I was so busy. I mean, after a year of working at Croft, we opened in Beverly Hills, and I was very involved in that entire process, which was so amazing, but a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked crazy hours, and I was working like 6 days a week, so I had barely any time off. And because of that, I obviously didn't have time to make videos, because any spare moment I had, I was sleeping or like cleaning, doing laundry. But then COVID hit.
Uh-huh.
And with the restaurant, we were like, what are we doing? At that time, it was like March 2020. Nobody knew what to do.
Yeah.
Like, I remember the day vividly that we closed. It was like raining, and there was all of these like reports coming out about COVID. And we were like, should we shut the restaurant down? Like, this feels weird. We should probably close. So then we closed, and we all like took a bunch of food home, and we left, and we're like, okay, I guess TBD on what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Then they ended up opening for takeout, but I just never went back. They were giving pay cuts to people, which makes a lot of sense, obviously. Yeah. And I just couldn't afford to take that. You know, I barely made enough money to pay my bills. Like, I was living paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, you weren't doing content
for
anymore.
2 years. I was not doing content. I was just living off of my salary from the restaurant, which was enough to live, but not super comfortably.
Yeah.
You know, I had to be smart with my money, which I had never had to do before.
Oh my God.
So that was a learning experience. But
all while figuring it out on your own.
Yeah. Once I decided I wasn't going back, I was like, okay, well, I guess now's the time to go back to YouTube and see what happens. I had no idea if it was gonna work.
Yeah.
I'm like, people have probably forgotten about me. No one's gonna care.
Well, obviously, you took 2 to 3 years off. Follower count went down. Like, did any
of
that affect you? Were you like, what do I do from here?
No, I mean, I think since taking the break and like really assessing my priorities, realizing that I lost followers on Instagram, I was kind of like, I don't really care. Like, bye.
Yeah.
It's fine. If you don't want to follow me, then that's all right.
Yeah.
No worries at all. Because it's just not really what's important to me anymore. So, but I still was like, who knows if this is actually going to work? And if it doesn't, then like, I'm going to have to figure out something else to do. So I started posting videos again.
How has the content changed?
I mean, I'm making like cooking videos now. A lot of recipe videos, like what I eat in a week. So I'm still vlogging a little bit because people obviously like to see that. And a lot of people follow me because of me and have been following me for a long time just because of that, which is really crazy and so nice. But some people don't want to see just the cooking. So I try to, you know, mesh the two. But I definitely have certain boundaries and certain things that I don't share and don't talk about anymore that I probably used to. I'm like very, I feel like I'm very open online, but also very reserved in a lot of ways, which is great for me. It's a nice balance.
Have you always been that way on social media, like open and reserved, or did something trigger, you know, you just like being like, I'm only going to show this part of my life?
I think I've always been semi-reserved, semi-cautious about what I share, but I was definitely...
Because you're scared of what people would think, or you just didn't need people like creating their own storylines?
I think just because I wanted to have some semblance of privacy. But I definitely, I think because I was posting and sharing more content before, I was obviously sharing more about myself. But now that I'm only really posting like every couple of weeks on YouTube and Instagram whenever I feel like it, which is like a couple times a month usually, it's a lot more reserved.
It's a lot more reserved.
Yeah.
Hey, friend. I'm Nicole Walters, mom of three, your internet bestie and founder of Inherent Learning Company. If you're looking for the motivation you need to pursue a life of purpose, then join me each week on the Nicole Walters podcast as I share my hard-learned lessons and answer your DMs about life, business, and everything in between. We'll laugh, we'll cry, and we'll grant ourselves grace as we do life together. Check out the Nicole Walters podcast every Tuesday here on Dear Media. You can listen anywhere you listen to podcasts.
Speaking of being so reserved, are we dating?
Not really.
Are we open to dating?
I mean, like, maybe. I don't know. I'm definitely not. I was seeing somebody over the holidays, and then that just didn't work. And
they're still my cousin, you know?
I was like, I know. Lindsay really wants me to date her cousin, you guys.
He's a good guy.
I believe you.
He's smart. I've
never met him.
I know. It almost happened. He does live in Scottsdale. I think he's moving back to LA. I forget. But during COVID, you know, when everyone was going on walks, Maddie and I were going on walks, and we would just like walk and talk about who she's dating. All the attention was on her at all times because I had nothing to share on. So it was always like 21 questions with Maddie Bragg. Should we play that now? I'm just kidding.
I mean, if you want. But yeah, I'm not seeing anybody. I just can't do dating apps anymore. I'm retired.
That's what I hear. You know, I've been with my husband for Garrett. My husband is, if you don't know him, for 9 years. Mm-hmm. So way before dating apps were a thing. And
lucky.
I don't know. I mean, I know what it's like because, like, I'll play on my sisters and it's, like, fun to, like, flirt for her.
Yeah.
Or, like, try pickup lines. And she's like, Lindsay, you can't say that. I'm like, sorry, I've been out of the dating game for so long. But it was, like, kind of fun. And then I guess now everyone I talk to, they're like, I hate the dating apps.
Just, it's so grim.
I saw this girl post on Instagram yesterday because she was in a long relationship. And someone asked a question of, like, dating and how to put yourself out there. And she also said that she hated dating apps, but she's finding that, like, saying yes to everything, even if she doesn't want to say yes to it, has allowed her to, like, really figure out what she looks for in someone, what she wants, like, what she enjoys doing with someone, etc. And she just became, like, a yes girl. And I found that, like, a lot of people who become just, like, yes people have these experiences and meet these people that, like, are supposed to be in their lives.
For sure.
So maybe that's, like, the new dating app is just, like, being a yes person.
Yeah. I mean, listen, if someone came up to me on the street and asked me on a date, I would say yes. But that doesn't happen to me.
Okay, so do you hear that? If you see Maddie on the street and you want to ask on a date, she's going to say yes. She likes to hang out at Melrose Place. No, I'm just kidding. I'm, like, going to give your whole schedule of where
you're
you,
like,
are.
This is her address. Yeah. Go and knock on
actually,
her door.
Do you guys want her phone number? I'll give it to you. So what's next? Like, what's, like, something that you're really excited about?
I'm going to keep making content because I love that it's accessible to people and I want to encourage young people to cook. And now I'm sharing, like, how to have a healthy relationship with food. And
have you ever not had a healthy relationship with food?
Thankfully, no. I'm very lucky that that has never been a thing for me, but I know a lot of people do struggle with it. I'm just very, you know, I'm very anti-diet culture and all of that. I eat what I want. I listen to my body, and food is so fun and it's so delicious. And it's
so delicious when you make it for me. I don't know how to, you know what I had for dinner last night?
What'd you have?
Dino nuggets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dino nuggets are good.
Yeah, they're really
good. If you want a dino nuggets, then you should eat them.
I just don't know how to cook, but I do love when you cook. It's so yummy.
But yeah, I'm going to keep making content. And then I really am trying to start consulting for restaurants and food brands, bars, basically whoever needs my help, wants to hire me.
What to make or what to put on the menu.
Like, yeah, menu and recipe development. I could also help with content creation. I'm like, have a few things in the works of hopefully people who might want to hire me for my my expertise, I guess.
Cool.
So I'm hoping that will work, because then I feel like that creates a nice balance of me being online, but then me still having things that are separate.
Yeah.
And being able to log off and still, you know, have a job that may be more sustainable in the future and gives me that real in-person connection. Because I do miss that about the restaurant, but I don't want to own my own restaurant.
Never say never, sister.
I know that's what everyone says, but I just have, I mean, maybe I'm scarred from my one experience, but I just like,
it's a lot of work.
It's not just that, oh, it's a lot of work and like, I don't want to work hard. It's just, I don't know if it's worth it for me and like what I want in my life, because eventually, you know, I want to be a mom. I want to have a family, and I don't see myself being able to have that if I was working in a restaurant full time. The hours are intense, especially if it's like my own restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows where the future will take me, but for now, content creating, consulting, and then, you know, 5-year plan, I want to write a cookbook. I don't feel like I'm ready for that yet. I still have a lot to learn, but I want to make a cookbook eventually.
I feel like just do it. I remember I worked at this company. It was a corporate company, very well known. Not going to say the name only because they do great things. Just wasn't the right. Yeah, unimportant. I came home crying every day. And then one day I came home and Garrett was like also like emotional from seeing me cry mm-hmm. every day, that at one point, like, he was like, I don't know if I can like watch this anymore. Like,
yeah.
What do you want to do? Like, this is not for you. What do you want to do? And I was like, well, what do you mean? He's like, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I was like, I don't know. I want to start my own company. And he was like, well, why are you waiting 5 years to do that?
Yeah.
Like, what? Why don't you do it right now? And I was like, well, I don't know how to make a website. Like, I thought that was my first order of business.
That was the only issue.
Yes.
Doesn't know how to make a website.
Literally, that is what I said to him. And we had a friend at the time that I had met when I moved to Canada for the summer who was a website developer. His name was Hamza. He was like, I am sure that Hamza will help you if you just like tell him what's going on, how miserable you are. Just like, tell him, see what he says. The worst he can say is no. If
yeah.
you think that the website is stopping you from starting a business, and this was when I started LA Social, mm-hmm. then like you have nothing to lose. You'll yeah. go back to work. So mm-hmm. I was like, I looked at him and I was like, you're not wrong. Like, you're yeah. not wrong.
Yeah.
And so I called Hamza the next day. And I was like, Hamza, I hate my job and I'm so unhappy and I really want to start this company, but I don't know how to make a website. Like, can you help me? And he was like, yeah, what do you want it to be? And I was like, what do you mean? Yeah.
He's like, by the way,
I don't have any money to pay you. He was like, that's okay. Like, I'm happy to help you. He was like, just give me your couch one day when I want to come to LA. And I was mm-hmm. like, done, whatever you want. And so I learned ever since that conversation with Garrett, I learned that you just have to talk about what it is that you want to do, and you never know who's going to be able to help you
mm-hmm.
or who's going to be able to point you in the right direction. And, you know, I mean, my best friend, Nicholas, who you know very yes. well, knows a lot of people who could probably help you with a cookbook.
Mm-hmm.
So why wait 5 years?
See, here's the thing. I know a lot of people that could help me with a cookbook.
So what are you scared of? Like, what's holding you back?
Really, it's the imposter syndrome for sure. I'm like, why would I write a cookbook? Me?
So what's the worst that could happen? You curate a cookbook, uh-huh. you put it out there, you announce it on social media.
I mean,
are you scared of what's the worst that could happen?
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just like, I know it would be fine. People would buy it.
So wait, say
I
that.
Know
it,
they, I, say I that know it, they would.
Hold on, back up and say that again. What did you say? You said I would be fine.
Yeah, I would be fine. No, I know.
And is that the worst case scenario?
I guess.
And that's not so bad.
I mean, the worst case scenario is I fail and like, who cares?
Okay, so you're
not me.
you're giving me the motivational speech that I'm trying to give you.
I know. I'm like, hi, instead of I'm on Ready, Set, Spill, we're having a therapy session. I know. I get in my own way. I saw a psychic like a couple months ago and she was like, you need to move out of the way of yourself.
Yeah.
Because you're preventing yourself from doing all of these things. And I'm like, I know.
But you just said it right here on Ready, yeah. Set, Spill, that the worst case scenario is actually not the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
You're still going to have your friends. You're still going to have a roof over your head.
Exactly.
You're still going to have content to create. So mm-hmm. I would just get to it, sister.
Okay. Well, coming soon, everybody. Apparently.
I feel like we covered so many different tangents and I feel like I could talk mm-hmm. to you forever, partly because you're my friend and I don't get to see you often just because where life has taken me.
Yep.
But what's one piece of advice as I just sat here giving you a motivational speech that you would like to leave with our listeners?
Ooh, here we go. I'm like, should take my own advice. Failure is not bad. It's fine.
Say that again.
Say it again. I said failure is not bad. It's actually fine. It's a great way to learn. Fine. Everyone is still going to love you. You're still going to have your friends and your family. No one's going to hate you because you failed at something.
Well, the pressure is on now because you heard it here first. Maddie is starting her cookbook because said that failure is fine. If you want to watch her journey on starting her cookbook, then you can follow her on social media at Maddie Bragg.
Thank you.
How do you spell Maddie Bragg, though? Because there's so many ways to spell Maddie.
M-A-D-D-I-B-R-A-G-G.
There you go. So two D's and two G's.
Two D's and two G's.
That's where you can keep up with her. You can find her on YouTube too. So what's the YouTube name?
If you just search my first and last name, you should be able to find me.
Well, now you can watch a business start from the ground up by following Maddie Bragg. I love you so much. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Yay.
If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to follow us on your podcast listening platform. Share your favorite moments with me on social media and tune in next week. Again, I'm your host, Lindsay Carter, and this is Ready, Set, Spill.